Welcome back to Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. The persecution of Christians by radical Muslims is obviously an ongoing problem in our world. There was an attack of some Coptic Christians living in Libya, and it was not well publicized. We're going to discuss this right now with Lindsay Vesey, who is the Director of Advocacy and Development for Coptic Solidarity, which is a worldwide organization with some members in the U.S. Their website, by the way, is CopticSolidarity.org. Lindsay, thank you for joining us. You're on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, tell us about what happened on December 23 in Libya.
Sure. Well, just to give a little background, there's been increasing persecution of Coptic Christians in Libya over the past couple years since their revolution. And several thousand Coptic Christians have moved to Libya to work there for better job opportunities. So on December 23rd, a Coptic doctor and his wife, who had been working at a diabetes center there in Libya, some Islamic extremists actually broke into their home. They murdered the father after handcuffing him. And the mother went with the daughters into a bedroom to hide. They actually went in and they murdered the mother in front of her daughters. Mm. The 14-year-old daughter was kidnapped and taken out into the desert and shot at close range three times.
Mm.
The youngest two daughters, who were 9 and 10, were left with the body of their mother in their home. And they were there several hours before they were able to get out and get help. So it's just a brutal attack. And this happened, like I said, on December 23rd.
Or for those not familiar with it, what is a Coptic Christian?
Sure. So Coptic Christians are the indigenous Christians of Egypt. So when St. Mark, the apostle, brought the gospel to Egypt, the church that was started there became known as the Coptic Church, the Coptic Orthodox Church. So this is an element of Christianity, one of the oldest that we have in the world today. Many of the great early church fathers and writings that we have come from this Christian population. Now, they are also the largest Christian minority in the Middle East. They make up about 10% of the Egyptian population. So when we say Coptic Christian, we're basically referring to the Christian minority in Egypt. And as I mentioned, some of them have moved to other countries, such as Libya, to look for better work opportunities.
Mm. Are there many Coptic Christians in America?
There are. I actually was researching this, and, you know, minimum 100,000, but likely up to 500,000 Coptic Christians in the United States, with a large percentage of those being in New Jersey, New York, Washington, D.C., and in California as well.
Okay. Now, I actually had not heard about this particular attack of the doctor and, I guess, his wife and then daughter. I had not heard about it until you all sent a press release. So I take it that this story was not well told, even in some Christian circles.
That's right. You know, we pick up some of this media and reports, of course, from our own sources, but also because so many of our founders, our board members, all speak Arabic. And so they're able to control the Arabic media, which is where, you know, we were able to get more information about this. But sadly, so little of it is reported in Western media. And then when it is reported, often there's effort to change the story to try to make it seem like it's not so much due to Islamic extremism. So, for example, like Al Jazeera, which is a Qatar-funded media outlet, and it's the main media outlet for the whole Middle East, they might call Islamic extremists rebels or revolutionaries. And, you know, we've also seen the U.S. administration, the Obama administration, pick up some of this terminology. And so the result is that often by the time these stories come out in U.S. media, it's not always clear that the impetus for the attack is actually Islamic extremism, you know, specifically targeting people because they are Christians. As in this case with the doctor, they offered the extremists jewelry, they offered them all the money they had in their house, and they did not take any of that. So, the result is that they just simply came to murder Christians for being in the country and didn't take, you know, any kind of booty, as you could, you know, as you would say. So it was very clear that it was a religiously motivated attack.
Now, did the doctor who was killed, did he have any kind of postings or something against Muslims or against Muhammad the Prophet?
Not that we know of. Everything that has been reported so far is that they had a very good relationship with the community. They'd actually been in Libya for some years. They realized it was becoming more dangerous. And actually, just after this, seven more Coptic Christians who were trying to get out of the country because they realized how dangerous it was, they were actually kidnapped. And we still have no idea what happened to them.
Oh.
So that happened. And then on the 3rd of January, an additional 13 Coptic Christians were kidnapped by Islamic extremists in their place of work. And in that situation, the extremists actually came in with a list of every Christian employee. They separated Muslims from Christians, and they only kidnapped the Christians.
Now,
so fortunately, those ones have just been released.
Wow. Now, all of what you've just described has been taking place in Libya, is that right?
That's right. And all of this has taken place just in the last couple weeks.
Okay, wow. Let me go ahead and read the last paragraph of an article on your website, CopticSolidarity.com, or is it .org?
.org.
About this particular crime. The crime has left Copts incensed at the inaction of government officials, but much more so at the minimal coverage of the crime by the local media. And we would add, of course, by the rest of the media. Social networking sites have been teeming with bitter remarks by Copts who question all the fine talk propagated by moderate Muslims about peaceful and compassionate coexistence between Muslims and Christians in Egypt. What does the wide media disregard of this crime mean? One blogger posted. Does no one care? Your comments.
Sure. Well, Pew Research actually conducted quite a bit of research in Egypt recently. And the result was that they realized a vast majority of Muslims in Egypt are more radicalized than the majority of other Muslim countries. This is very interesting. So despite the revolution and despite a lot of discussion and, you know, public printing and publicity about the desire for human rights, for tolerance and whatnot, the majority of the Egyptian population is a little more radicalized, we could say, than other countries. So it's not really that surprising, for one. We have seen that Egyptian officials have not spoken out very strongly on these attacks. For example, about 10 Copts were killed in Libya last year, and about the only thing the Egyptian government did was to be there to receive the bodies when they were sent back. Very little public action. But one thing that I would note that is potentially signifying a change is that the president, al-Sisi, recently gave a speech at Al-Azhar University, and this is basically the seat of Sunni Islam. So the majority of Muslims are Sunni, and the, you know, where they get their interpretation of scriptures and whatnot basically comes from Al-Azhar University. Now, President al-Sisi recently gave a speech there, and he basically said that they need to reconsider how they're applying Islam and what being Muslim actually means. Because he said, you know, how can it be that we are against everyone in the world who is not Muslim? That's a huge percentage of the world's population. And, you know, we have never heard anything like that before coming from a leader of a country such as Egypt. So it's a very interesting development, and I think we're just going to have to wait and see what the response is, if that could possibly have a more, tolerating effect in the future, but we're just not really sure at this point.
All right, let me ask you this. You described killings of Coptic Christians in Libya, and then you made the comment that Muslim officials in Egypt didn't lift a finger or whatever, didn't condemn this, or maybe they condemned it, you know, with words, but there were no actions. But it happened in Libya, so, I mean, just as far as jurisdiction, it would make more sense that you'd complain about Libyan officials not doing anything, you know, after all the crimes were committed in Libya, right?
Well, so these Coptic Christians are actually Egyptian citizens who are working.
Oh, okay, so it'd be like, if an American was abroad and that American was attacked, then the United States would speak up and say something. Okay, I can see that point.
Right, and so that's why we expect, you know, like with Pastor Saeed Abedini, who's in Iran, imprisoned right now, we expect the U.S. government to speak out on his behalf. Same, you know, kind of situation. But also, you make a great point. We do expect the Libyan authorities to do a lot more. Clearly, they are not protecting Coptic citizens. And at this stage, Copts are terrified to be in Libya, and a lot of them just simply can't get out. And they're being hunted down, kidnapped, and tortured at this point. So the Libyan authorities definitely have a responsibility to be more proactive in protecting those Coptic Christians from Egypt.
It's fascinating, too, what you were saying earlier about how the Pew Research shows that the majority, apparently, of Muslims in Egypt are radicalized and subscribe to the radical philosophy. And here, just a couple of years ago, they had, as the head of the government, the Muslim Brotherhood leader, or one of them, and they rejected his leadership because it was too oppressive, and yet they subscribe ultimately to his kind of anti-Christian, anti-everybody else type philosophy. So that's just kind of an interesting irony.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, I probably overgeneralized when I said radicalized, but they had a lot of specific questions about, you know, should women be allowed to work? Should women wear a head covering? Should we apply Sharia law to all people in the country? So this is, you know, I generalize from those questions that they are more radical. So basically they are stronger supporters of Sharia law than many other countries, yet when Sharia law was applied more strictly and they lost their freedom, they did not like it under Morsi. So that is definitely an interesting thing to consider, and it'll be interesting to see how they respond to President al-Sisi's changes, if indeed he really will start protecting Christians, because to date we have not seen very much of that.
You know, it's funny, the statements that you have said about him in recent times at that particular university, I'll bet you he was heavily guarded. And I'll bet you also that there may be some just so upset at what he said that maybe one day they would try and make him as a target, just like it was radical Muslims who killed Anwar Sadat back in, what was it, 1981, because he had made peace with Israel. That was a deal brokered by the United States. But they didn't forget it, and they carried out their attack and killed him.
Right. I mean, frankly, we have not seen much support from President al-Sisi.
Coptic Christians
mostly voted for him and supported him because they thought that he would bring greater equality to their situation.
Sure.
Because it's not just religious persecution that Copts endure, but they don't have equality in education and jobs and marriage and all of the, you know, everyday rights that make up a person's life in Egypt. And so they're looking to President al-Sisi to change that. And to date, you know, we just haven't seen it. In fact, the very first Christian, Mohammed Hegazi, who now calls himself the Shoaibulos, who tried to change his identity card from Muslim to Christian, he was prevented from doing that under a previous administration. And he was just sentenced again on an unidentified charge to another year in prison. So this is under al-Sisi. So, you know, we've had a lot of reasons to not be very optimistic about his leadership. And then just recently, the speech at Al-Azhar University was very interesting. And, you know, frankly, I'm not sure what exactly it signifies, if he was pressured to do it or what the result will be. So I think it's kind of a waiting game at this point in time.
Okay, we have about a minute left to go. What would you like to say in conclusion? And by the way, how many people are we talking about when we talk about Coptic Christians, let's say, just in Egypt alone?
And there's been a lot of them leaving the country. So those with the means, the resources, the education to do so are leaving the country very rapidly in the last several years, many coming here to the United States and to other Western countries.
All right. So how about a concluding thought in half a minute?
Concluding thought, we would love for people to go to our website, CopticSolidarity.org, and to take action on behalf of that gentleman I mentioned, Mohammed Hegazi, who's trying to change his identity card. His case really will set a precedent for every other Christian in the country. And so we're really asking people to go to our website, to send a pre-written message to the Egyptian authorities and let them know that we support his right to choose his faith and to be able to reflect on his identity card.
All right. Lindsay Vesey, again, of CopticSolidarity.org. Thanks so much for being with us. God bless you. Keep up the great work.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye.